Hebrews chapter 13, we'll begin at verse 1 through 17. Let us give our attention to the reading of God's word. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear, what can man do to me? Verse 7, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their faith, their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. May the Lord bless the reading and also the proclamation of his word to us this morning. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's important to see the relationship of what we heard in the last sermon from chapter 12, verse 25, and how that leads to our scripture here in chapter 13. That is, we are not to refuse him who speaks. We heard that last Sunday. And it's a present tense, who speaks from heaven. And then in chapter 13, really it is, we should not refuse, as we hear about, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget. Remember prisoners. Let your conduct. Remember those who rule over you. And so on. And then also to see how this is related to our text this morning, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we should even see how the verses after our text, verses 9 through 17, they too are related to this declaration of our text. In fact, brothers and sisters, the whole book of Hebrews truly leads to this declaration in our text, verse 8. I pray that the truth of this simple declaration, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, that it would be a great encouragement to you and to me as we live in the new and living way which Jesus provides for us. Our theme is, as you see, the greatness of Jesus in being unchanging. You know, the very form of the words in our text, it's like the greeting that we heard earlier to open up our worship from the Lord. Revelation 1:4, about him who is and who was and who is to come. You know, four different times in the book of Revelation, John by the Holy Spirit writes about Jesus declaring things like, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So all of it is, he is eternal. And that's only true of being true God, right? I don't know if you remember, but as we went through the Gospel of John, we saw how repeatedly Jesus taught about himself, that he is from above, that he was sent from the Father, and so on, and that to know him is to know the Father, and to trust him is to trust in God, his Father and our Father. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Earlier we confessed in the Belgian Confession how Jesus said before Abraham was, I am, I am. That is an ongoing present reality for all time. And so our text declares Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this whole letter of Hebrews, it has spoken about it. And let's see of that in our first point, which is Jesus is the unchanging Son of God with an unchanging priesthood. You know, as we have been hearing from text to text in Hebrews, and by the way, as I studied this, I thought this was the perfect final text for Hebrews. But then I read on, we didn't read it this morning, but we have that benediction there, and we hear it in our worship from time to time. So I really thought that we should also hear a sermon about that benediction. So, Lord willing, we'll hear that as our final sermon. But still, as we have been hearing, going from text to text in Hebrews, always about the greatness of Jesus as Son, it's really true that almost every sentence in Hebrews, it has shown that he must be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Think of that caption. I've referred to it so often. The caption for the whole book in chapter 1, the first few verses. Jesus, his Son, is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his purpose. Person, sorry. And we confessed about that earlier in Belgian Confession, Article 10. And also that he is the very voice of God speaking to us in these last days. Again, being unchanging means being God. And so that's why in chapter 1 of Hebrews, we went over this before. The Father says to Jesus, and it's quoting from the Psalms of the Old Testament, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. That's what the Father said to the Son, to Jesus. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth. And then listen to this. They will perish, but you remain. They will be changed, but you are the same. See? The same yesterday, today, and forever. And so also, in coming down from heaven to earth, he remains the same. He took on humility for the sake of saving us poor sinners, but he did that as our great eternal high priest, right? And we heard about his priesthood, that it was so different, so much better than the old Levitical priesthood. Why was it better? Well, the simple answer is, his priesthood is forever. It's unchanging. And that's the main truth of being a priesthood according to the order of Melchizedek, who had no beginning and no end. And we went over that. So it all speaks of him being the same, also in his priesthood. And then about his priesthood, think about it. As God himself, he offered up himself before the Father for us, right? And in that way, back in chapter 10, verse 14, it says, by one offering he has perfected for a while those who are being sanctified. No. You know it. By one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. That speaks about an unchanging priesthood of Jesus as the Messiah, as the Christ. And it could only be possible if he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's also why after our text, if you would glance at verses 10 and 11, you know, there we read, we have an altar. And it compares it to the old order about those who serve the tabernacle. It may refer to those who are still living under the ceremonial laws. But then verse 12 says, therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. The point is, which we've seen already in Hebrews, Jesus fulfills the shadow of the high priestly offering. He is the true and the perfect sacrifice for sin. I trust you remember how we heard. Jesus is the heavenly reality that casts the shadow to earth in the old temple, in the old sacrifices. The shadow was shown in the Old Testament. And so in coming to earth for us and for our salvation, Jesus fulfills the shadow. He's the real thing. And so as the one who is, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It was fitting. Remember that? It was fitting as our high priest that he would also return to his transcendent glory, right? That he would enter into heaven himself, itself for us. And so back in chapter 10 we heard what we have now in the here and now, because Jesus is in heaven at the Father's right hand. And about that we heard what it results in. It results in the exhortation concerning worship in chapter 10, right? To draw near, to hold fast, to consider one another. You see what it shows? It shows that our worship is unchanging because he is unchanging. So yeah, we don't need some weird and wonderful new stuff for worship. Any more than we need some new and wonderful, weird Savior. He's the same. And our worship is ordained by him to be unchanging, as he is unchanging. And then most recently, at the end of chapter 12, we heard how he is still speaking, right? And that's unchanging. We heard how the voice then shook the earth. That was at Mount Sinai. And that's the same voice. The voice is the same that is now shaking all the created order. And we'll give the final shaking. So in that voice, he is shaking all things. And he's doing it to remove those things which are being shaken, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. And you know it, we heard it, that speaks of a kingdom which cannot be shaken, right? And that remains because it's founded in Jesus who remains, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So there is no eternal unchanging kingdom if there is no eternal unchanging king. And then, oh, this is so important to see. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, so also his speaking, that is, what his voice says in the Word, it, the Word that is, it is also the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Word. It has the same authority, the same power, the same force. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And on, because of Jesus being the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you see, that's why, right after our text in verse 8, in verse 9 we read, do not be carried about by various and strange doctrines. See the connection? Jesus is unchanging. His word is unchanging. And so Don't allow yourself to be led aside, to be enticed. When it talks about being carried about, that's talking about being drawn away by teachings that are not according to that unchanging word. By teachings that are various and strange. And yeah, one part in verse 9 there is the teachings about foods. And that may have to do with issues and teaching about eating of ceremonial foods. And we might conclude that. It's not certain, but it might be because of what's said in verse 10 about those who serve in the tabernacle, they have no right to eat of this altar. So it might even be that this is referring to the fact that we have the altar who is Christ, and we eat of him in his word. And those who continue on in the ceremonies of the Old Testament, they have no right to eat that. Right? They have to come to Christ. But it also may have to be to do with other teachings that regard foods. And there is some argument about that. But the point is that grace comes through the unchanging word. And it does not come through following teachings about foods. That's the point. So, by his unchanging word, the unchanging Christ shakes all things. And he gives grace. And he rules all things. And that's going to not change. And then about that rule, let's go on and see about it in our second point. So our second point is Jesus is unchanging in leading his church through all ages. Just so you kind of get the lay of the land, if you will. In our first point, we see how the whole book of Hebrews in many ways leads to our text. And now here, in our second point, we are seeing how the immediate context, just in this chapter 13, how that leads to our text. You know, our text, verse 8, is not randomly placed here. So as I studied this, I thought, I wonder how many pastors over the hundreds of years have preached on this text and taken it completely out of context, because that would be so easy to do. But here we want to see it's there for a reason. The Holy Spirit put it right here, almost in the middle of our scripture reading this morning. And he did it for a reason. So, let's see it. Well, look at the verses. First we read in verse 7, remember those who rule over you. And then in our text, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then after our text, first, verses 9 to 16, they are about our duty and our calling, which we're going to see in our third point, a calling to be priests because of Jesus and his priesthood. Right? So that's verses 9 to 16. But then in verse 17, he returns about those who rule over you again. Right? And what we need to see, this matter of those who rule over you, it includes those in the past and also those in the present, and has implications for those in the future. And I hope in the back of your mind you keep thinking this is all because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because that's why this verse is put there. So in verse 7, well, in the English it can sound like it's about present rulers. But you have to understand, it's not written that way. So verse 7 is simply referring to literally the ones ruling or leading, okay? And then it says, who have spoken the word of God to you. So that's about the past, right? And obviously, that is the word of Jesus, right? Again, which is unchanging. We heard that in our first point. And Jesus is the one who gives those to the church to be the rulers or leaders. Could be translated either way. So, you know, you can quickly think about Ephesians 4 there, where it talks about the gifts that Christ gives to the church, and some of them are pastors and teachers, right? They're the gifts of the church. So he gives them. And then in verse 7, it goes on, the Holy Spirit writes about those former rulers and leaders. And in the New King James, well, it might just be me, but I think it's rather difficult to understand when it says, whose faith follow? I always thought that that meant that their faith follows them. But you see, literally, it's saying to imitate their faith. Okay? So it is whose faith you should follow. So I think the New King James kind of kept on with the Old King James here. And in the Old King James, those who are more well-versed with Old King James, it's probably not so hard to understand when it says, whose faith follow. So the point is, it's talking about you should follow their faith. And then, the rest of verse 7 tells us how we are to be doing this. You imitate their faith by considering, and that can mean reflecting upon, the outcome of their, well, their way of life. Conduct is manner of life, how they live their life. This expression at the end of verse 7, when it says considering the outcome of their conduct, it's important to see. This is not simply talking about, you know, the end of their physical life. It is literally talking about the ongoing reality of spiritual life. In other words, how their way of life gave evidence of God's grace. Okay? And therefore gave evidence of this unchanging Savior who was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then also in verse 17, now here it's in the present. These rulers, these leaders are to be obeyed and submitted to. But it's so important to understand and see the reason to obey and submit. It is because they are given by Christ, the unchanging Savior, they are given a spiritual care for the members. That's what it means when it says they watch out for your souls. And you notice it right away says they must give an account. Obviously, they give an account to Jesus because he's the one who calls them to this work. But they give an account either, notice, they give an account either with joy, and that can only be because there is submission to the word, right? So there is an obvious ongoing repentance, faith, and growing in obedience. That's giving an account with joy for those who are rulers. But it can also be with grief. And that comes about because the admonition of the word is ignored. So there is no true change. And that, of course, grieves these rulers, these elders. Because the word brings no effect. And we've heard this in Hebrews before, what that ultimately refers to. Those who heard did not believe, and they will not enter my rest, God says, right? So that's why there's grief. But then, notice, it says that would be unprofitable for you. So this is not about the profit of the leaders, the elders. This is about the profit of the members. See, their rule through the unchanging word of the unchanging Christ, it would not have any advantage for the members. Right? So, in all of this, brothers and sisters, let's be sure that we see what this means. The same grace that sustained those who have spoken the word of God. And it was shown in their manner of life. Probably many of them have already laid down their lives, even through having become martyrs. But the point is, this same grace, the Spirit is saying, that's also a work in you through your present rulers. And that can only be possible because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? He goes with his church through all the ages. He goes with his church in all the changes and uncertainties of life. He is unchanging, and his rule goes on through rulers, leaders, which he gives to his church. You know, some writers suggest, and it may well be, that the first readers were really feeling deeply the loss of former leaders and rulers. And they feared that now they had no one to turn to. They had no one to rely on anymore. But you see, they needed to understand. Their present rulers are also given by Christ. And to obey them and to submit to them. That is submitting to Jesus Christ and to his word. And that he is the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he's the one to turn to. He's the one to rely on. He guarantees the future of his church. And he will keep leading his church through all the generations, through all the ages. So you see, the point is, remember those of the past who have ruled, who led you, but also obey and be submissive to those who now rule over you. And you do this by trusting in Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So rulers may change, but Christ doesn't change. And you see, when you do this, it will mean, the next verse, verse 9, you will not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. Right? And then your heart will be established. Remember, the issues of life flow out of the heart. Your heart will be established not by strange teachings that so many people follow after and run after, but instead, your heart will be established by grace. And that grace also means a calling. And that's what we see now in our third point. Jesus calls us to unchanging offering of ourselves in praise to God. Well, I pray you really see this, and that the Holy Spirit convinces you that this point also comes from our text. In other words, that our Savior and our Lord, he is unchanging. And that means that as we are in him, we too grow and mature to be unchanging. Yeah, obviously there are many things that we have to change in, right? But what is unchanging is how we offer ourselves to God. Look at verse 15. Just notice the nature of being unchanging here. Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. And here again, we've seen this in a previous passage, but here again, when it says offer, it is literally to offer up. To offer up a sacrifice of praise. And that's important because that's the language of being a priest. So in my point, I don't have in there an unchanging priesthood for us because I don't know how that would communicate to most of us. But it is offering ourselves in praise to God, and that's our priestly service. And you see, it means, look at the end of verse 15. The main thought there is giving thanks to his name. See that? And that word giving thanks, that's the normal word for confessing. And you notice, we do that confessing of his name first as the fruit of our lips, right? But then also in verse 16, right away, do not forget to do good and to share. So it is also in our works. So this is not a small thing, right? Both of these are how we confess his name. In our words and in our works. In what we say, how we say it, and in how we live. Brothers and sisters, this is the offering up of praise to God. It is our priestly service. And you notice, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So, yeah, that's all wonderful. But I pray we hear this, and I pray that it speaks deeply to our hearts and our lives. This call to offer up sacrifices of praise, this call to engage in priestly service, this is not as if you should try hard to do this, or you have it in you, as if it begins and it ends with you and me. No. Again, I pray you hear this. This begins and this ends with Jesus Christ at work in you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in him, he is our great high priest. And we have an unchanging priesthood on our behalf. And that's why in verse 15 it says, by him, we also, more and more, mature to being unchanging, unchanging in our priestly service of offering up a sacrifice of praise to God. In confessing God by mouth and by our lives, by our works. And now just look at how our scripture teaches this. Well, in verse 12, it is about Jesus offering himself. It says to sanctify the people with his own blood, he suffered outside the gate. And then in verse 13, therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. It's an obvious connection, right? And by the way, the terms outside the gate and outside the camp, they refer to the same thing. And it is being outside the city. It's really the city of Jerusalem. And that's why, right away, verse 14 says, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. So the meaning of all of this is this. As Jesus suffered reproach and shame to sanctify us, he did that outside the city because it was just too shameful to have the cross inside the city of Jerusalem. And we go forth to him. That means we separate ourselves from all that is sinful and that is fallen. Even also from our own sinful selves. And we separate ourselves to Christ and to a holiness of life, a sanctified life. And yeah, we do that outside the city where we bear his reproach. So it speaks of being willing to suffer for following him. It speaks of being willing to forsake what is sinful and what is worldly, all around us and also within us. And brothers and sisters, always we need to remember, nothing that we forsake for Christ is of any unchanging value. Did you hear that? Nothing that we forsake for Christ is of any unchanging value. Here we have no continuing city, and we seek the one to come. Remember how Moses in chapter 11, he considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt. And because of that, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. That's bearing reproach, right? And we heard in chapter 11, verse 10, the true faith, the faith of our father Abraham, it lives in expectation of the city which has foundations. And we heard then, that's what's lasting. That's what's unchanging. And you see, that's why all of this leads to, again, verse 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. By true faith in Jesus Christ, who is unchanging, by him we have a calling to also be unchanging in our offering ourselves. Offering ourselves up to God as a sacrifice of thanks. And it's a sacrifice. That means it will cost us. But again, what it costs us is not anything of lasting value. Just think of, for example, 1 Corinthians 7:31. The form of this world is passing away. Or 1 John 2:17. The world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Right? Oh, sometimes those deep, you know, it says lust here, and maybe that brings up all kinds of ideas that maybe we get sidetracked here. But this is the deep longing, the passions for what feels so good from the world. And we think that is something worth having and lasting, but it is passing away. And doing God's will, that lasts forever. Because we do it in Christ, who is unchanging and forever. And then also unchanging, and this means we don't stop doing it. We don't stop doing it when we don't feel like it. You know, when we are not in the mood. Oh, that's so easy. That is so easy. And it is so common. I'm just not in the mood. And then we need parents. We need God-given authorities to give us kind of a kick and say it doesn't matter whether you feel like it or whether you're in the mood or whether you're too tired and on and on and on. This is what you're called to do. In all things, in all areas of our lives, this is what we are called to, priestly service. And yeah, it involves growing. It involves maturing. Earlier in chapter 6, we heard about this in Hebrews, the need to go on to maturity. And we heard the very serious warning when this does not take place. In other words, when we are not progressing, not ongoingly growing and maturing, then something is wrong. And we have to correct it. Because if we don't correct it, we will keep on sliding away. And eventually, it will result in a deadly reality. So it all just points to this continuing need, calling of growing, even when it costs us something. And it is all because we seek the city which is to come. We look for what is lasting, what is unchanging, and we willingly give up what does not last. And then, brothers and sisters, this calling, it takes us back to the beginning of chapter 13. Because just look at how this speaks of being unchanging and continual. And it's all because of Jesus who is unchanging. So here is our continuing, unchanging priestly service. Verse 1, let brotherly love continue. That might cost you something, but it is to continue. Verse 2, do not forget to entertain strangers. In other words, practice hospitality. Ongoingly. Verse 3, keep in mind prisoners as if chained with them. So be willing to bear reproach. Verse 4 is about marriage, to keep it honorable. Do that continually. It's not according to how it feels or doesn't feel. Do it. Keep it honorable. And there's the reminder of God's judgment on sexual sin of every kind. Those words that are used there, they include every kind of deviancy and sexual sin. Verse 5, let your conduct, which is again your way of life, be without covetousness. In other words, be content. Be content continually and in all things. And then, yeah, you hear this. And then it's so glorious. Because all of it is, he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, our unchanging high priest. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Just think of it. What God said to Joshua so many years ago, that Jesus says to you and me. He says to you and me, as we sacrificially forsake this passing world and we give ourselves to an unchanging priestly service, he will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, no matter what, in verse 6, we can boldly say, along with the psalmist, this is from Psalm 118, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear, what can man do to me? Well, we've seen the Lord is unchanging. He's the best helper. Man is no good for help. He's changing all the time. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, in all of this, it is important for us to remember what else we heard earlier in Hebrews, from chapter 4, that we have an empathetic, often called sympathetic, Savior. That he was in all points tempted as we are. You want to give up your priestly service at a certain situation where you'll be laughed at, you'll lose friends, you'll feel kind of alone and isolated, and on and on and on? Well, Jesus was tempted with that too. And Jesus knew what it was to suffer deeply. Remember in chapter 5, verse 7, he offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears. And we heard then that he did it for us. And we heard that he was heard because of his godly fear. And we too. We too. In the deepest challenges of life. By him. We can continually, unchangingly, offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Let's go forth to him. Him who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we do, and as we do, well, we've heard this so often in almost every sermon. We are living in the new and living way, and we will not become complacent. We will not compromise. And instead, we will keep on. We will persevere. May we more and more grow to praise our Savior and our Lord for his greatness in being unchanging. And may we do this in all that we say and how we say it and in what we do, how we live. Amen. Let us respond. Well, let's first of all pray, sorry. So eager to get to this song. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to give you praise and thanks. Somehow we come to realize once again that we were made for eternity, and the eternity that we lost because of sin, it's so awful, it's so dreaded. But in Christ, we're restored to an eternity that is just beyond what we can imagine and what heart can wish for. And we have the foretaste of it here, because here already we have everlasting life. So may we truly be restored in our calling to be prophets, priests, and kings. in Jesus Christ. And when we get discouraged in that, when we get downcast, because it just seems so hard, and it doesn't seem to pay, and there's a whole world out there that is enticing us, and that wants to draw us to itself. Oh Lord, renew us in Christ. And may the truth of what Jesus is keep ringing in our ears, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when we face anything that changes, may we turn from it. May we know this isn't going to last. And even our challenges, even our sorrows, it will not last. There is something glorious coming that is forever. So give us a foretaste of that as we live. Also in this coming week, may your word accomplish the purpose that you've given it to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.